Hello, I'm Dr. Jane, and this is another 10-minute positive mental health podcast. Now, today, I wanted to talk about a subject I've already covered in the podcast, but because I got a lot of feedback from it and a lot of requests, I wanted to cover it again. And it's about living with a gambler and the difficulties of if you have a gambling addiction or you're living with somebody with a gambling addiction. Now, specifically, I wanted to talk about it from the perspective of, you know, we often talk about children of addicts and partners of addicts. But one of the things, and I have noticed this, and this was somebody that came to see me, it was a lady whose son was a problem gambler. She'd originally contacted me and asked me if I could see him and could she pay in advance because, you know, she didn't want to give him the money because he was going to lose it, you know, at the bookies or wherever. And I said, no, I wasn't going to do that because I didn't want her to waste her money. Because unless he was ready to come, then that would have been a waste of her money. And I wasn't going to do that. And then shortly afterwards, she actually said, could she come and see me? Because she felt that she needed to be able to speak about what was going on. Now, just to give you a little bit of background, we will call him Will and we'll call his mum who came to see me June. Now, June had come to see me because she was just at her wit's end. Will, her son, it was just the two of them that lived together. His dad had sadly passed away a few years ago, and he was an only child, and they'd lived together. But she said he'd always had a slight inclination to kind of be quite withdrawn. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't anything, as you know, that you could actually tag anything on, but there was always this slightly withdrawnness about him. And when computers came along, he kind of threw himself into the whole computer game thing. And she said it wasn't long after he kind of finished his university, he'd come back from that. He'd done okay. He'd had a few friends. He'd got, you know, a good grades and everything was fine. And he'd started to work in computers. He was a programmer. But then she said it started to go slightly wrong, and she could never quite, because he was an adult, she felt that she couldn't quite ask really what was going on. But basically what was happening, she found out subsequently, was that he was actually not turning up to work because he was going to the bookies, he was spending all of his money, and it became difficult. He was trying to work from home, but when he was working from home, he was, you know, watching the online bets. And gambling for this guy had become a really bad problem really quickly. And she said when she could talk to him, you know, when he got upset and he would actually tell her what was going on, she used to say how he would say it was just so easy. He was an adult and he could get an online gambling account within seconds, you know, put a card number in, put his details in, tick the box to say he's over 18, and he was up and running. And, you know, he used to say about the thrill of, you know, when the roulette wheel was going around, the electronic one, or the, you know, or the slot machines or whatever it was. That momentary thrill of thinking that he was going to win gave him such a high. And when he would win, of course, that was just a, you know, a massive, you know, positive feedback that was going on for him that then kind of wanted him to do it even more. I used to work in a casino many years ago, and the only thing that was guaranteed to bet was what we used to call the house, you know, the actual casino. We used to do counts. We used to count all the money. It was piles of it. They set casinos up so the cash register is as far away from the exit as possible. I don't know if that's the same in other countries, but it certainly used to be in the UK. So as you're walking back with your wads of cash that you have, you know, won, you just hear the sound of the roulette wheel going round, or you hear the next bets being placed on the blackjack table or something. And there was just phenomenal amounts of money being spent. And it's an industry. It's a multi-billion pound industry. And of course, to keep the industry going, they want to advertise. They want to make it look fun. They want, you know, and this is what Will had happened to him. They wanted to make it look fun. They wanted to make it look like, you know, they were people like him that would just, it was a normal part of life to just gamble, as opposed to if you look in any bookmakers at all, you know, you don't get the Wills in there, you get the desperate people in there, you get, you know, it's not the place that you're going to go to meet like-minded people that they show you on the TV are, you know, sensible bettors and the people that know to walk away when they're losing. But this is what had happened. He'd been very quickly lured into it. And because, you know, he had kind of friends, but, you know, not a huge social circle, it was easy. It was people that he felt he was kind of communicating with online that would be talking about bets and things. And they you know, whether they were set up by the industry, I don't know. But he got lured into it very quickly. And what happened at home, June said that she started noticing. He'd always, you know, she'd never had any difficulties with Will about this when he was a child or anything. And she started noticing things going missing. She, you know, she'd gone to the cash machine. She'd got, you know, 20 quid out. She'd go to get it out of the purse and realise that it was no longer there. And of course, she was starting to doubt herself because it just wasn't on the agenda that this was what was going on. And then she, you know, she didn't want to believe that he was stealing from her. But eventually, when she got a call from her bank saying, oh, we've noticed a few odd transactions, and what had happened was he'd taken a copy of one of her debit cards, and he'd started using that to fund his, because he was out of credit. His bank had banned him from using any further credit, and she'd started using that, and then she, you know, she was the one that was actually paying for it. And of course, it became her debt. When it was looked into, they were basically saying, oh, she'd left her card around, irresponsible, she'd have to get the money back from it. And it was really difficult. And she didn't really know what to do about the whole situation, and hence coming to see me, and she wanted to talk about it. Now, what I got her to do was the first thing to do is look about what support there is out there. There's something called, I'm sure it's a worldwide thing, you have Al-Anon for the, you know, the family of alcoholics, and you have, you know, an alternative for the gamblers, the family of gamblers. And if you can start putting yourself within people that have had the experiences that you have, you start getting a little bit of support, knowing that it's not your fault, lessening the shame that you feel because you feel that you've done something wrong, which is very typical of families of gamblers. They think that they've done something wrong to have driven them to that. You know, any addiction, there's always just that little bit, as opposed to these are adult people that are making their own decisions. So she started getting support from that. She had to be very careful, and she didn't like it, but she had to be really very careful about if she ever brought any cash into the house. She would write it down. She got a whiteboard, and she would write it down, so she and date it, so she knew exactly what she had. And basically what she was saying to Will was she was letting him know that she knew what she had, and he couldn't take it. He kind of, you know, when we were talking, he didn't really acknowledge that he had a problem. He was still a young man, you know, he was still kind of not quite, you know, he was maturing. He was not quite understanding the implications of what was going on for him. He was just about holding down another job. He was a good computer programmer, so he was able to get another job. Things had got a little bit better. And she said as well, one of the things that had slightly changed for them as well, that he'd actually got a girlfriend. And even though it was in its kind of infancy, the relationship, they were still talking about futures and wanting to go on holiday and things like that. She had a dilemma, of course, that did she want to tell the girlfriend about his gambling addiction? But it was really at the beginning of their relationship, and she didn't want to do anything to kind of hinder that. So it was something that she was having to think about. But she was keeping an eye on the situation. She was keeping an eye on how Will was, and she said to him that she was going to be supportive of him. Did she want him, you know, not exactly feed him and give him money each week, but if that was the thing that helped him come off it. But as I said, he wasn't ready to acknowledge that he had a problem with gambling, and it didn't, to be perfectly honest, it didn't look like he was going to be acknowledging that for quite some time. But it was about, actually, this is your future. You're potentially ruining it with your girlfriend as well, because you're not going to have the money to be able to do this, that and the other. And maybe he had to actually learn by his mistakes, because at the moment he was carrying on gambling because really there wasn't any great implication, apart from, of course, not having any money and stealing off his mum, which is all terrible things. But there wasn't actually any great implication on him to make him wake up to what was going on for him. So it's difficult when you live with somebody that has an issue, that has an addiction, and your hands are tied. It's very difficult. But the best thing you can do, and the best thing that June did, was you go out there and you get support, and you get support from people that have been there, because that's the huge thing. That's the important thing. And it might take you a few little different, you know, looks and maybe different groups to find the people that, you know, that are suitable for you, because, you know, there's different people out there at different stages and things that have gone on for them. So please, there is stuff out there for anybody that is living with somebody that has any addiction. In this case, we're talking about a gambling addiction, but anybody that has anything to do with an addiction, there is help out there and there is support out there. There's help out there. There's something in the UK called GAM Care, which is to help the families of people that are, you know, struggling with what's going on. I've been Dr. Jane. You've been listening to a 10-minute positive mental health podcast, which I hope you found useful. If you look at drjane.co.uk/podcasts, there's a whole library there of lots of different issues that I hope you would find useful. And I will speak to you again very, very soon.